Praise God. Amen. Wonderful to be gathered in His mighty name. Let's just turn in our Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25. We're going to read from verse 31 to 40. Matthew 25, 31 to 40. Are we all there? When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. He will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. Help us to understand it and help us to be blessed as we let your word change us from within. Amen. Praise God. Now, the title of this message is "As Unto Me." It's a fact that you and I will always treat something in accordance with the way that we see it. All right? The way that we perceive something will determine how we will take care of it or treat it, person or anything. Right? So the way you and I perceive something, that is the way we will treat it. If you have something of great value, like your treasured toy as a child, you look after the toy, won't you? If a young man gets a bicycle and he just loves his bicycle, he will really keep it clean and look after it, you see. The way you and I perceive something will translate into how we treat it, okay? Now, you see, God is always on the hunt for you and I to show Him that we love Him. He needs to know that we love Him. He's always looking for love from people. The Lord said, "Many people, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Many people, they honor me with their lips. I listen to music sometimes, Christian music, and people are singing these beautiful songs, and it's all very well done, and everything's fantastically set out, the lighting, the music, everything. But sometimes you just feel it's a show. Their heart isn't really in it. And sometimes you see people that are really, there's no lighting, there's no proper instruments, they're just singing unto the Lord. But you know what? Their heart is in it, you see. Now, God's always, how shall I say, looking to see what's in our heart. And because of that, He sets up situations that will demonstrate what is actually in us. Amen? Right at the very beginning, remember the Garden of Eden. Beautiful garden. Adam and Eve had everything they could want to eat. Beautiful scenery. Nice and warm climate. Everything was just perfect. However, what did God do? He placed in the garden the one tree. Remember that? The knowledge of good and evil. And you wonder, why did He do that? Why did He make it possible for them to mess the whole thing up? Have you ever thought of that? Why did He make it like that? Because He wanted them to be able to show Him that they loved Him. Amen? If they didn't have a choice to make where they could say, "No, we would like to have this, but we love God more," they would never have been able to prove to Him that they love Him. Just think about it. That's the one thing you and I have while we're on this earth. We have every day an opportunity to show Him, to demonstrate that we love Him. Amen? Once you're in heaven, there's no choice. Did you know that? Because you won't want to do anything else. You won't be able to do anything else. There won't be any sin. There won't be nothing. It'll be perfect. But God, throughout the word and in everybody's lives, you see this pattern. God places a situation where you and I are given, and let's look at it this way, the opportunity to show Him that we love Him. All right? Remember, Israel takes them into the promised land after everything they went through. And what did he say to them through Joshua? He said, this is the promised land. Choose this day whom you will serve. Can you see? They had this beautiful land flowing with milk and honey. If you've got milk, what does that mean? You've got cows. If you've got cows, what does that mean? You've got steak. If you've got honey, you've got bees. If you've got bees, you've got to have fruit, right? So it was a lovely place. But God knew. And Moses could see this happening. He tried to warn them. You're in this beautiful place. But being in this beautiful place, you've got to still choose. Can you see? You've got to choose. There is the possibility that no matter how beautiful I've made it for you, you can still mess it up. But you see, he's not so interested in them messing it up. What he's interested in is them showing him that we love you anyway. Can you see? And you and I sometimes go through difficulties. What is the big issue? Am I right? What are you going to do about it? Now, God does this in different ways. All right? Have you ever thought, why did God come to mankind in the form of a carpenter riding a donkey? Amen? They were all waiting for a king on a white horse. They were all waiting for a king on a white horse that would come and just through force of arms or whatever, take over, throw the Romans out of their country, and they would set up a nice big kingdom that would eventually take over everybody. They're waiting for that. Can you imagine? They're waiting for that, and what comes along? A carpenter riding on a donkey. No wonder they missed it. You understand? Didn't compute. And you say, well, we know now who he really was. Okay, we know with hindsight, but they didn't at the time. Can you see the pattern? Now listen, the Bible says that God sometimes sends angels. And he said to his people that you've turned away angels when they came as strangers. What am I saying? You see, very often, God brings into our lives people. And if we don't fully appreciate who they are, we can actually miss it. Amen? Very often God tests our heart, not by sending us something that we can readily understand, but by sending us something that doesn't look right. It's a very important thing to grasp this. Because you see, as you and I appreciate something, so we will demonstrate what's in our heart. There's the tie up here. And very often we are put in situations which test what it is that is in our heart. Now, just for example, they ask him, what is the greatest commandment? To love the Lord your God. Can you see? Now, let me just say something. It's quite easy to love God, isn't it, if you know about him? Because most of the time he gets things right, doesn't he? Understand, God is perfect. But the other beautiful thing about God is up there. Amen. So if he starts saying stuff we don't like, what can we do? Just ignore him for a bit. You understand? So by and large, we can get on very well with God because he's not always in our face. But you see, that's the one commandment. And then the Lord said, and just as great is what? Love one another. Now, can I ask you this question? Which is easiest? To love Almighty God or to love one another? You see, God's perfect and he's up there. But one another are not always perfect, and we're right here. You get it? It's not that easy to get on with one another because we're not perfect. You understand? And everybody's got faults, and everybody's got different opinions, and everybody's made differently, and God's made it that way. Why? Well, you see, it's all because it's very easy to love God, and with our lips we can say, oh, we love God, but what's in our heart? Amen? Until what's in your and my heart is tested, we won't know what's there. Is that right? You get a new vehicle, it says how fast it can go and all this other stuff. How will you know? You've got to get in that thing and drive it. Can you see? It's got to be tested. And please understand, God's always testing us. He's not testing us to find fault. Amen? He's not testing you and I to say, oh, I see, I got you. That's the difference between the devil who tempts and God who tests. Please, let's get this very clear in our minds. You see, the devil tempts. What does he do when he tempts? He tries to get you and I to go the wrong way. Why? To get us away from God. Temptation is when the devil puts things our way which we like to try and lure us away from God. And he accuses us and he says, oh, you see, you did this wrong. All the time trying to separate us from God. God, on the other hand, he tests our heart. Why? I'll tell you why. The more we pass the test, as it were, the more he can trust us. And the more he can trust us, the more he can give us. Please understand that. God's not tempting us to see, oh, I see you got it wrong, and give us a good hiding. No, that's not his heart. That is not God. That's the devil for you. The devil says, come this way, come this way. And once you maybe make the wrong step, got you. You see, God doesn't love you anymore now. You're now serving me, really. And he's very happy about that. God doesn't do that. But listen, God doesn't make everything easy for you. Sometimes he puts us in difficult situations. Amen? Not because he wants to see us fall. He wants to see us stand. Amen? And you see, God will never put you in a situation that you can't handle. That's what he promises. So if you're in a difficult situation and we don't think we can handle it, let me tell you, God's saying, you can handle it. Just step up to the plate. But what's got to happen? We've got to become bigger people. Why is God interested in that? Well, very simply, the bigger you and I are, the more effective we are for him. God's not interested in you and I just having a very cozy little life and eventually shuffling off into the blue where it's all beauty and peace and glory. As wonderful as that is, we've got work to do. And let's be honest, the more equipped we are, the more work we can do. How do you get somebody ready for something? Train them up. In every bit of training, what do you have? The exercise, yes, and then the test. You pass the test, okay, you can go on. That's what the school system is about, is it not? You get your matric, okay, we'll give you the certificate. Now you can go to university. You go to university, you pass the test, then you can graduate. That's life. That's the system. Same with God. So you see, we mustn't shy away from being tested. We shouldn't. We should rejoice when we are being tested. Ask God for the grace to succeed. But you see, something I need to say, and this is the point of this message. Sometimes you and I are being tested and we might not even realize it. Amen? Why? Because you see, like these people, the sheep nations, the Lord said, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was in prison, you came and visited me and all these things. You clothed me. You looked after me. And they said, when did we do that? You understand? We didn't see you coming on a white horse in glory and we fed you. Now, let's be honest. When you have people that you really look up to, it's quite easy to be good to them, isn't it? You'd be very happy to have them in your home. The queen came to visit Pretoria or the king or whatever, and they said, we'll come to visit you. Of course, come, we'll have you. But now, how are we tested? The stranger. You understand? The one that you would least think is God. Now, when we understand this, we realize that God is in everyone. God is in everything. He created it. People talk about climate change and they get all upset about the end of the world. I'm not into that, really. Climate does change. Nothing you and I can do about. So to try and make an issue of it is not going to help, really. However, I do believe that this creation is made by God and we need to look after it. Does that make sense? Why? Because you see, the way you perceive something is how you would take care of it. And if we realize God made this, if we look after it, we are giving honor to God. Can you see the thinking here? People just take the surroundings for granted. They just take their chip packet and throw it out the window or their banana peels. There's a dustbin right there. What do they do? Whenever you and I throw something on the floor, do you know what? Somebody has got to pick it up. Amen? Somebody out there. Are you showing everybody else respect? No. Can you see? What I'm saying is there's always an opportunity to show respect for what God has made and for God himself. And when we have to love one another, why is it so important? Well, in the body of Christ, guess what? Christ died for everybody and he lives in everybody. Amen? And as we do unto others, we are doing unto him. It's like at school. If a teacher abuses your child, not only are they abusing the child, they are abusing you. Why? Because that child is part of your family. I'm trying to tie this together. If we start to appreciate that God is in others, it will change the way we treat them. Amen? Take, for example, the Word of God. You and I appreciate that God has taken a lot of trouble to get this Word of God into our hands. Did you know that? Many people, let me tell you, many people have died so that this Bible can be in our hands, historically. People have died. They've been burnt at the stake to make sure you and I can have this Bible. Many people have spent hours, years, centuries sitting down, studying and writing, translating, so that you and I can have this Bible in our hands. Amen? God has used people through great suffering and expense to make sure that you and I can have this Bible. So you see, when you and I start to appreciate that God has done this, this is God's word to us, guess what? We start to treasure it. Amen? I know this Bible looks a bit worn out, but it's not because I've abused it. I've used it. Amen? I respect it. When I first started out in the kingdom of heaven, I got a Bible. I got it covered in elephant skin. And I would sleep with it here every night. Just my Bible. What we've got to realize, if we don't appreciate what this is, we won't treat it right. And people have gone into hotels and committed suicide. And right on the bedside table, there's a Gideon's Bible. Amen? The answer to their problems was right there. But because they didn't appreciate it, they didn't realize it, they missed out on it. How many opportunities come our way where it's God, but because our eyes are blinded, we don't appreciate it? Let me tell you, the Church of God is God's gift to humanity. Is the Church of God perfect? But you see, if we realize that the Church, the body of Christ, represents God on this earth, can I tell you something? We will really take care of her. We won't talk badly about other men of God. We won't use our pulpit to now say bad things about them. We won't abuse the pastors. I can't tell you how much abuse goes to pastors in our community. We have a pastor's fraternal and we host it twice a year, in June normally and just before Christmas. Janet and I make sure that when they set foot in this house, they have a wonderful time. We go to great expense, let me tell you, to make sure they have the best food, they have the most comfortable place. And you might say, well, why? You know why? Because we realize that out there, these people are just abused left, right, and center. Amen? And they just need to know how valuable they are. Amen? Do we agree with them doctrinally? Not necessarily. You understand? We don't have the same view on many things, the essential things we do, and we realize they are doing the best they can under terrible circumstances to extend the gospel. And because of that, they are brave people, and we respect them. Can you see? Now, you might meet them and say, oh, well, they don't have a big church. They're not really going anywhere. You might say that. Everybody's different. You understand? But guess what? Does it matter? Every one of them is trying to do the best they can for who? The King of Kings. All right? And if we understand that, guess what? We start to appreciate them and look after them. Let me tell you, if our society looked after its ministers, we would have no trouble here. Do you know that? I'm not saying worship them, but if we looked after them properly, we would have a great community. Can you see? There'd be no competition, as it were, to just try and survive, basically. But you see, it all hinges on this thing of when we appreciate God. When I was in prison, you came and visited me. But when did we visit you in prison? Well, perhaps you went across to somebody who had just lost somebody and was really battling with depression or something. They were in a prison of their mind, you understand? And you visited them. You visited the Lord. We start to realize when you and I find somebody who's hungry and we give them some food, we're actually feeding the Lord. Amen? Not just some random car guard. It doesn't really matter. At the end of the day, we're not doing it to try and get some sort of
reward.
We're doing things as unto the Lord. When we put this food together for these pastors, we're not trying to impress them. We're doing it as unto the Lord. It's a sacrifice to God. Now you might say, oh, when did you sacrifice to God? This band of pastors, random people came into your house and fed them. Can you see the thinking? It's not about who they are, what they are. The point is they are God's representatives. And you see, the moment you recognize somebody as God's representative, no matter if you agree with them or not, what you do unto them is how you treat the Lord. Remember Samuel the prophet. He went to Israel and he said, you don't need a king. All you have to do is listen to the prophet of God and do what he says and you'll be fine. He'll look after you. No, we want a king. They insisted. Samuel went to God and he said, Father God, these people have rejected me. You know what God said to him? No, they haven't rejected you. They've rejected me. Can you see that? When people treat you and I badly, when we are serving God, it's not because they are treating you and I badly. The truth is they're treating God badly. Can you see that? We've got to keep our eyes open and realize that sometimes a stranger is an angel in disguise. Amen? That person at work, maybe God sent them your way. And the way you and I treat them, regard them, is actually how we treat God. The way you and I respond to the kingdom of heaven, the church, the body of Christ, the men and women of God, the way we treat them is the way we treat God. What's in our heart towards God. This scripture came alive to me on one occasion, perhaps the most precious moments I've ever had as a minister of the gospel. And I'll just close with this because it touched me so deeply. I was operating in the hospital and praying for children, and on one occasion there was one little baby there. The most beautiful child you could ever imagine. Little baby boy. And I won't go into details, but he was unwanted, if I can call it that. How could anybody not want a little boy like that? But anyway, I did what I could. And he was struggling with cancer. Leukemia, actually. And I think what had happened psychologically or spiritually, deep down, he had sensed the rejection. And he didn't want to be here anymore. But anyway, I used to pray for him as much as I could. And the one evening I went there to pray for him, I'll never forget it. He was in this ward and he was in one of those incubator plastic things. He was in there and he was like a fish gasping for water or something gasping for air. He was agitated, this little boy. And the nurse I knew quite well, she said, you can pray for him. So at first I put my hand on the incubator there. And I just prayed in the spirit. That's all I knew to do. And I noticed something. After a while, he started to just settle down. Just settle down. Eventually, the nurse came and said, I don't know what you did, but he's looking better. And then she said, would you like to hold him?
Shame.
It's like asking a fish, would you like to go into the water? You understand? I said, of course I would. So anyway, she bundled this little thing up in my arms. I called him Mr. Baby. Now here I am in the middle of the night in the hospital there. Him in my arms and I'm singing to him and all the rest. And as this goes on through the night, something amazing happened. It was like the presence of God came into that room and this scripture just came alive in my heart. The sensation was that although I was holding this little baby, I was actually holding God. Because what you've done unto the least of these, you do it unto me. And here's the thing. You see, can you hold God? But I was holding this little baby and I had the sensation of holding God, but at the same time, I had the sense of God holding me. Both of us. Anyway, he seemed to be fine that morning. The nurse didn't tell me really how serious his condition was because I went home and then I was planning to go there that night. I couldn't because you have to have some sleep. And anyway, I went the next morning and they said, no, he passed away, sadly. Had I known how bad he was, I would have gone and tried to pray him through anyway. But you understand, my point is this, that this is a baby. You might say, well, that's not God. but what you and I do to the least. Can you see that? If God came, we'd all bow down, yes, yes, you the Lord, and all the rest. And that would be quite normal and it would be wonderful. But what is God testing? Would you do the same thing if I come in a different form? Amen? Because if I come in a different form that maybe is not as acceptable to the human mind, and you didn't treat that thing that's unacceptable to the human mind like you would treat me, what you are really demonstrating is what is actually in your heart. Can you see? We don't have to wait to get to heaven to give God the glory. Amen? We can do it all now. The beautiful thing is that we have an opportunity to do it here. In heaven, there's no need. You understand? Everybody's well taken care of. And in heaven, your heart's been tested and you're there. So I'm encouraging us. Let's ask God to open our eyes to see Him in the people and the situations around us. And realize something. The way you and I treat those things is a testimony to what's really in our heart. And you and I should be constantly wanting our hearts to be right. Amen? Because one day we face Him and whatever secrets are in our heart will be totally exposed. And I'd hate to get there and fumble around and comes to mind all the things I didn't do that I should have done, you understand? And so regrets. No regrets, amen? No regrets. I must say that if I could go back in life, I'm sure you feel the same. There are a lot of things I would like to have done differently. Amen? Because on a lot of occasions, let me tell you, situations arose where there was an opportunity to demonstrate the nature of Christ, but I failed. That brings shame to my heart. But thank God for forgiveness. We move on. We've got the rest of our lives to live, and let's trust God to open our hearts and give us the right attitude. Amen. Realize what you and I do to the least of these, we are doing unto Him. Amen. Praise God.